The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, Jay Johnston stars as Mr. District Attorney in The Case of the Sinister Cinema. A rich uncle comes to visit on an episode of Baby Snooks. And Frank McGrath is featured on The Daredevils of Hollywood. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, a rich uncle comes to visit on an episode of Baby Snooks, and Frank McGrath is featured on The Daredevils of Hollywood. Right now, Jay Johnston stars as Mr. District Attorney in The Case of the Sinister Cinema, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica present...
Mr. District Attorney, champion of the people, defender of truth, guardian of our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mr. District Attorney is brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty. Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica.
And it shall be my duty as district attorney not only to prosecute to the limit of the law all persons accused of crimes perpetrated within this county, but to defend with equal vigor the rights and privileges of all its citizens.
Tonight's case of the Sinister Cinema, ladies and gentlemen, concerns a master criminal, a man whose knowledge of his fellow man is keen and penetrating. We can almost say that Richard Seagraves has based his astounding crime solely on his understanding that men are vain, and therein lies the tragedy of his success. We begin in the private office of the president of a small bank here in our city.
Well, that's my proposition, Mr. Claypool. How does it strike you?
Why, I hardly know what to say, Mr.
Seagraves. Richard Seagraves Productions.
Oh, yes, I know. You're from Hollywood, you say, sir?
Well, I've produced most of my pictures in Hollywood, Mr. Claypool. That's true. You've seen them, of course. Gone with the Storm, Valley of Wind.
Oh, of course. A cigar, Mr. Seagraves?
Oh, yes, thank you. But as I said, Claypool, the tendency these days is to shoot on location. As I was telling the boys at the Academy Award dinner just recently, we've got to get out and photograph the real thing.
Oh, the Academy Award, eh? Oh, Ronald Coleman and, who was it my wife was? Oh, yes, Loretta Young.
Yes, dear Loretta. There, Eliza, you and LB and the rest of us. We've got to go out and photograph real people.
Oh, and you want to use my bank, Mr. Seagraves?
Just for one shot, Mr. Claypool, but what a shot. Think of it. Think of the Radio City Music Hall in New York.
Yes? Those dancing girls, you mean?
We open up in a bank. Not a Hollywood bank, A.B. A real bank. This one. And who do we see? Whose face do these millions of people look at? An actor's? No.
Mine?
The face of a banker. A.B. Claypool. Honesty, courage, the backbone of America. Your face.
I must say, of course, this is irregular, Mr. Seagraves. Highly irregular. We have a business to run, you know.
You hit it right on the head there, A.B., and that's exactly what we want, to see your business in action. Why, we won't change a thing. Your customers won't even know we're shooting the picture.
They won't?
Realism, A.B. Realism, it's the coming thing. You'll come out of your office, greet our star, just as if you were another customer, and we grind away.
Oh, your star, did you say?
Well, let's not let this get out, A.B. Variety and Billboard have spies, you know.
Oh, they have?
Yes, it's Dolly Eads.
Dolly Eads? I don't think I recall
having... Oh, what an actress. What a personality, A.B. And when the cameras start rolling here in the bank, when Dolly turns that smile on A.B. Claypool, man, oh, man.
Well, I did a little acting back in college, come to think of it. Rutgers, 1919.
Oh, that's wonderful, A.B., wonderful. It's all set, then. We'll do this shot this afternoon.
But this afternoon?
Don't you worry about a thing, A.B. We'll be in here shooting before you know it.
When did this report come in, Miss Miller?
The one from Battle Creek, Chief?
Yes.
This morning.
Well, this is really amazing. Oh? I'd hardly believe it possible.
Yeah, what, Chief?
Oh, this will interest you, Harrington.
Yeah?
Didn't you say not so long ago that there are no new tricks in the book?
He did.
Yeah, certainly I did, Miss Miller. Mm. Well, look at that bum I put in the lineup this morning. Pulling the old gypsy handkerchief gag. What? That's one of the oldest in the game.
Well, this report from Michigan isn't an old one.
Yeah?
Why, it's absolutely astounding.
Well, what is the gag, Chief?
Bank robbery, actually.
Huh?
Only the bank hardly knows it's been robbed.
What?
But according to this report, this gang goes to the bank ahead of time and arranges to shoot a movie.
Arranges to do what?
Yeah, yes, that's what it says here. They convince the banking people that they're going to do a shot for a motion picture.
I don't get it, Chief.
Well, then they return a few hours later, set up a camera, and photograph what the bank thinks is a scene.
Oh, and it ain't.
Decidedly not. In Battle Creek, they got away with $60,000.
What? Oh, Chief, yeah. You're kidding.
No, it's all here. Oh, and it's done with imagination, apparently.
Well,
cards printed with impressive Hollywood addresses, a producer with a cigar, oh, everything.
Oh, honestly.
Camera equipment, of course. The works.
Shot for a movie?
Yeah.
Well, Chief, now I've heard everything.
Say, I don't think we ought to treat this lightly.
Yeah,
Miss Miller.
Yes, sir.
Call the banking association here in the city, will you? Ask them if they have any way of notifying their banks about this.
Right away, Chief.
And if they haven't, we'll do it ourselves.
All right.
Yeah, any idea where these boys were headed, Chief?
Well, the Battle Creek report doesn't say, Harrington. However, I think we'd better check up on that, too.
Yeah, right. A movie. Chief, well, that's the darndest thing I ever heard of.
It was beautiful, Georgiana, if I do say so myself.
He swallowed everything, Dick?
Complete. He even thinks he's seen you in the movies, Dolly.
What's so unusual about that? I got a nice figure.
That's beside the point.
What do you mean, beside the point? I got a peel, haven't I, Richie?
Later, Dolly. Georgia and I have to plan things.
What time, Dick?
2 o'clock, I thought. I left his office at 11.
2 o'clock? Oh, gee, it's noon now. Oh, I better get made up.
In a moment, Dolly. That's 2 hours, Dick. I wonder if it's too long a time.
He won't call anybody, Georgia. Not A.B. Claypool.
Who?
Your leading man, Dolly. He's probably in front of a mirror right now, rehearsing.
I still don't like too much time between your visit and the fireworks, Dick. Gives him time to think. Time to get suspicious, maybe.
Relax, Georgiana. This one is a cinch.
Well, everything's ready, at least.
Now, how about the camera? I told him we'd use a small crew, the intimate touch, you know.
No, I got the camera. How about you?
Me?
Come to, will you? Do you have your makeup?
Who's telling whom to come to, may I ask?
Oh, Dolly, you've got to cooperate. Georgiana asked you a question.
My figure beside the point. Sure, I've got makeup, just like Battle Creek.
All right, I'll do your face. Get a towel.
I can do it myself.
Do what Georgiana says, Dolly.
I can do what I said. What am I supposed to be?
A movie star, dear. A rich young thing making a deposit in a bank, remember?
She won't.
I will, too. Oh, Richie.
I'll run along, Dolly.
You like my figure, don't you, Richie?
You're sweet, Dolly. Now, run along and get made up.
Well, at least I don't look like...
Like what?
Like the broadside of a barn.
Well, you brainless little tramp. What?
You mustn't mind Dolly, Georgiana, please.
I don't.
After all, we do need her. The squares could think she's a movie star.
I know, Dick. Shall we go on with the plans now?
If she gets on your nerves, just let me know.
That won't be necessary, Dick. If the time comes, I can handle Dolly in my own way.
If the time comes, Georgiana, and I'll get you.
When you begin to confuse my figure with her brain.
It's 11:45, Chief. You have a luncheon appointment at 1.
Oh, yes, I know, Miss Miller. Thank you.
Oh, and I called the Banking Association. They were just as amazed as you were.
Oh, on that Battle Creek matter.
Mm-hmm.
What did they say?
Well, they never heard anything like it, Chief. Mm. They're putting out a bulletin on it.
Good.
Oh.
Yes, come in, Harrington. Come in.
I've been doing some telephoning, Chief.
Yes?
Among other places, Battle Creek.
Oh.
Yeah, you were right when you said we shouldn't take this bank thing lightly. Mm-hmm. I found out a lot more about that outfit.
Fine. What do you have?
Well, in the first place, I got a pretty good description on 3 of them, Chief. Mm-hmm. A man and 2 dames. Mm-hmm. One of the women pretends to be a movie star.
Well, how can she do that?
Yeah. What'd you say, Miss Miller?
How can you pretend to be a star, Harrington? Either you are one, everybody knows you, or you're not.
Okay, so she pretends to be a new star, then. Or a foreign one, Miss Miller. How do I know?
I thought you said you checked.
I did.
Well, all right, go on, Harrington. Anything else?
Yeah, but these interruptions, yeah. Chief, they're confused. Mm. Plenty, Chief. On the descriptions, yeah. One of these dames is very, very pretty.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, the other one sounds like a lady wrestler.
Yes, and?
Here's the payoff, Chief. Mm-hmm. They're almost sure this gang was headed this way.
What?
Yeah, I can trace them up to 3 days ago, and then we lose them, Chief. Mm. And when we lost them, they were on their way here.
I see. Miss Miller.
Yes, Chief.
Of course, that don't mean they are here, Chief. No, I ask around a little since this morning. They ain't checked in with the boys around town.
Yes, I know, but we can't afford to take a chance. Miss Miller, call the Banking Association back, will you? And tell them we'll notify the member banks from here.
All right, I'll get their list.
Fine. What will you do, Chief? Send a letter on it?
Oh, we'll do better, I think. Tell the mimeograph room to stand by, please, Miss Miller.
Okay.
And call the motor pool downstairs. We'll need 8 or 10 motorcycle messengers.
Right away, Chief.
We'll just put the whole story in a bulletin, Harrington, and send it around to the banks right now.
Oh, Mr. Seagraves, right on time, I see. I hope I didn't keep you waiting.
Oh, not at all, A.B. We were just getting the camera set up. A.B., may I present our little leading lady, Miss Dolly Eve?
I'm pleased to make your acquaintance.
Oh, Miss Eve, this is a pleasure, a great pleasure.
Likewise. Oh, pardon my makeup.
A.B., I see you change your suit.
Hmm? What? My suit. Well, yes. I was home for lunch, and Martha, my wife, she... you like it?
Fine, A.B., just fine.
All set up, Mr. Seagraves.
Oh, excuse me. Ready, Georgiana.
Yeah, I must say, I'm somewhat at sea, Mr. Seagraves. Is this all there is to it? Just one camera?
Well, just the one by the door, A.B., but what a camera. In the hands of Georgiana Heron, it's sheer poetry. You've seen her name, I know.
Oh, yes, yes, I believe I have. My goodness, I expected lights and all sorts of things. We cleared a space, Mr. Seagraves.
Not necessary at all, A.B. Realism, you know, realism. All set, Miss Eve?
Oh, sure.
You've notified the tellers and everyone just to go on about their regular duties, A.B.?
Yes, I have, Mr. Seagraves. Oh, I've been busy, I can assure you. Why, I haven't even read my mail.
Well, we won't take long. You've got the sequence, Miss Eads.
I think so, Mr. Seagraves. I go up to this nice gentleman here, say my lines, and he escorts me behind the little cage.
Behind the cage?
Just show our money, A.B. Pick up a handful of it and just show it to Miss Eads.
Oh, it's in the script.
Script.
We won't bother with the lines, A.B. We dub them in back on the coast, you understand.
You just make with your mouth like you were talking with me.
I see.
Ready, Mr. Seagraves?
Oh, I'll just get out of the way, then. All set, A.B.? Miss Eads?
Roll them.
Yes, I think I'm quite ready.
Everything okay?
Like candy from a baby. Now, just act natural, everybody. All right, Miss Eads? We're rolling.
Don't turn your back to the door, Dick.
I'm all right. All right, Miss Eads, your lines, please. I want this realistic, you know.
Why, I just love to see all that money, Mr. Claypool. Oh, back here, behind this tiny little cage.
Ah, that's fine. Now take her arm, if you will, A.B. Yes, that's fine. There they go, Georgiana.
Wait till he gets that cage open.
Yeah, I know. That's right, A.B. Now let Miss Eads go in ahead of you, please. If she doesn't stand in front of that alarm, I'll murder her.
Well, I don't know what to say. Should I just move my lips?
Oh, it's terrific. It's sensational, A.B. It's sensational. We're getting every expression. Now, where's the bag?
Right here. Go on.
Now, please don't stare at the camera, folks. It's just a movie. Ah, that's fine, A.B. That's fine. Little smile, Miss Eads, please.
All right. I'm beginning to enjoy this.
It couldn't be better. Now, please don't crowd near us, folks. It's just a movie. That's right. Go on about your business. All right, Dolly. Just put the dough in the bag.
You mustn't touch the money, Mr. Seagraves. No, really.
Get it, Georgiana. Now, don't miss his eyes.
Right.
Come on, hurry it up, Dolly.
I am, Richie. Give me a chance.
Now, see here, Seagraves. I asked you not to touch the money. That's real.
Now, careful, A.B. Keep your profile to the camera. All set, Doll?
That's all of it, Richie.
Where are you going with that? Stop, I say. Mr. Seagraves.
Perfect, A.B. Perfect. Sensational. Did you catch all that, Georgiana?
I'm still rolling.
Stop, I say. What's the meaning of this?
Come on, Dolly, move. Relax, folks. It's only a movie.
Let's get out of here.
Right with you, baby.
Now, I warned you, Seagraves. Picture or not, I'm setting off that alarm.
Get away from me, you big...
Help! Guy. Help! Stop them!
Shut up.
Somebody stop them!
Just a scene in a picture, friend. All right, Mr. Seagraves, let's have the shot now.
This is unheard of. Get out of my way.
I told you, A.B. Shut up.
Richie, look out.
Sorry, A.B., but I said this has got to be real.
Pay no attention, friends. It's just a movie.
I'm shot. Help me.
Jay.
Perfect, A.B. Just perfect. All set, Georgiana?
All set.
Now keep them rolling. Wonderful, A.B. Keep it up. Come on, doll. Stay in front of the camera now. Now back, Georgiana. Take it straight back.
Let's go.
Out the door, doll. Folks, please don't watch the camera. You'll spoil the scene. Hold the door.
I am.
Is Georgiana in the car?
She's waiting.
Okay, then. Great work, folks. That was fine. Fine, A.B. One of the best acting jobs I've seen in years. Come on, Dolly. Let's go.
In just a few moments, we will pick up the developments of this interesting case. But first, here's an important question.
Tell me, who should know best the difference between toothpaste?
Who should know best the difference between toothpastes? Why, the dentist, of course. He knows best because his life work is the health of your gums and the care of your teeth.
So listen, please, to this sound advice. Ask your dentist about Ipana toothpaste and gentle gum massage.
So many dentists recommend massage.
Yes, and a nationwide survey shows more dentists recommend Ipana toothpaste than any other dentifrice. And wait a moment. More dentists personally use Ipana than any other toothpaste.
Yes, Ipana toothpaste followed by gentle gum massage is the modern way to aid the health of your gums and the brilliance of your smile.
So help your dentist help you. He knows the value of gentle gum massage to tone up your gums.
Begin now getting your new Ipana smile. Taste the freshness, feel the cleanness, see the sparkle.
Get Ipana toothpaste for your Ipana smile. And now back to Mr. District Attorney.
Let's get organized, Harrington.
Yeah.
Everyone's here?
Yes, sir. The bank employees are all downstairs in the meeting room.
Yes, thank you, Miss Miller. We want all of them.
Okay. Boy, that's irony, or whatever you call it, Chief. Your message about the Battle Creek job is on this Claypool's desk.
Yes, I saw it. Mm-hmm. Unopened.
His secretary said he was so excited about appearing in the picture, he didn't do anything else.
In a movie. Well, it's our Michigan gang, all right, Chief. There's no doubt about that.
Yes. Hey, what's this, Harrington?
What? What do you got, Chief?
Here, looks like broken glass here on the floor.
Huh?
Oh, Chief, excuse me. Here's Ray.
Oh, good. I want photographs and diagrams, Miss Miller.
Well, this one shouldn't be too tough, Chief. We got a whole bank full of witnesses. They all thought when this Seagraves shot, it was part of a scene.
Yes, I know. What's the loss, Harrington? Are they through checking?
Well, it'll run about $35,000, Chief. Claypool used the main cage.
Yeah. You know, it's the audacity of this thing that gets me.
Hmm.
One man and two women, and they pull this off without a hitch.
Oh, it's tricky, all right, Chief. Hmm. Yeah, but maybe we can show them a few tricks of our own.
And the district attorney issued a similar bulletin to all banking institutions in the county.
I don't get it. So what? We got the dough.
Well, Georgiana means, Dolly, that we can't pull it off again. At least not around here.
I figured on that. But this stinking paper is a news syndicate. That'll queer the act in every town in the country.
It'll blow over, Georgiana. We can just lie around and take it easy for a while.
I'd like that.
On what? We need money, Dick.
Money? Well, we just got nearly 40 grand from that one bank alone.
Georgiana means good money, though. We can't pass the bank stuff until the heat blows over.
If we picked a town small enough, maybe we could pull it off again. Someplace where they don't read the papers.
The same thing, Georgiana?
Just about. I'll have to get another part for the front of the camera. I lost it.
What for? You don't really take pictures, do you?
Georgiana means that the camera has to look real dull.
I'll take a look at the map. Maybe there's a small town we can hit.
Well, I say we don't.
You what?
We got all the money, and I say spend it. I'm sick of working.
Spend it? Are you crazy?
Georgiana just explained, doll. You can't spend money if the bank has a record of the bills.
I don't care. You promised, Richie. You said we could just lie around and have fun.
That is also beside the point.
You stay out of this. I think it's wrong anyway. I didn't know you were going to kill people.
Doll, now listen, just...
Never mind, Dick. As I remarked before, I'll handle things when the time comes.
Time? What time?
Soon, I think. I promise you, Dolly, I'll let you know.
Will you switch off that light, please, Miss Miller? I want Harrington to see this.
Yes, sir.
What, in the microscope, Chief?
Yes, that's right. It's that broken glass I found on the floor of the bank.
I see it, Chief. Now, what's it mean?
Well, I'm not quite sure. Did you send for Ray, Miss Miller?
Yes, I did. He's on the way up from the photo lab now.
What's up, Chief? Something in Ray's pictures?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, I simply want his opinion on something. All right, and the lights, please, Miss Miller.
Okay.
As you know, broken glass is always interesting. Each piece seems to have a personality all its own.
Yeah, sure, Chief, but well, that ain't finding Seagraves, Chief.
No. You put out the alert?
Yeah, right away. I made it a full 5 states.
Good. Oh, and the bills from the bank?
Well, they had a pretty complete list of the numbers, Chief.
Oh, well, that's a break. Put it out on a full distribution, Miss Miller. Stores, depots, bus stations, everywhere.
Okay, it's being prepared down in Mimeo now.
Fine. Well, we'll just keep at this, Harrington. One way or another, we've got to bring that trio in.
I can't see the point in arguing about it, Dick. It's a matter of common sense.
But we mightn't either, Georgiana. You said yourself you've got a small town picked out.
I know that. We'll leave as soon as the part for the camera's ready.
Then let's take her with us.
I said no.
Oh, but she's a nice kid, Georgiana. You should have seen that guy in the bank give her the once over. She softens him up.
If necessary, I can play the actress.
You?
Yes, me. The choice is quite clear, Dick. The girl is blood shy.
Well, I guess you know best, Georgiana. You always do.
My dear boy, the woods are full of fancy figures. Yeah. So are banks.
Only if we could just bring...
I told you. All right?
Yeah, sure. Sure, if you say so.
Call her.
Now?
Now.
Okay, sure. Hey, Dolly. Come on in here a minute.
Stand back, Dick.
Oh, no, you didn't get a chance to talk to her.
What for? She's hardly intellectual. Dolly!
I'm coming. Well, what do you... Hey! Richie, stop her. She's got a gun.
I told you, young lady, I'd let you know when it's time. Well, it's time! It's high time.
I tell you, it's definite, Chief. They found the dame about 3 hours ago.
You're certain, Harrington? Sure it's the one who posed as an actress?
It's a positive identification, Chief. Four employees from the bank, just saw her in the morgue.
I see. And she was shot, you said?
I'll say she was. Clean as a whistle.
Well, all right, let's get to work. Tell Dr. Colgan I want the slug.
He's working on it now, Chief.
When he gets it, set up comparison check with the slug from Claypool's body.
All right.
Oh, Chief.
Yes, Miss Miller, what is it?
Ray's on the phone, Chief.
Yes?
He says he's located just what you want.
What?
Ray, Chief?
Uh-huh.
Our photographer?
Definitely, Harrington. Get the address, Miss Miller, and tell him to stay there.
Right.
Bring that comparison microscope, Harrington. We'll need it. All set?
I've got it, Chief.
All right, let's hope this is it, then. Come on, let's go.
It's a small town, Dick. Don't forget that when you talk to the banker.
Tomorrow morning, huh, Georgiana?
Sooner the better. Anyway, I think it's wise to get out of this town.
You mean Dolly?
For one, yes. Soon as we can pack, we'll get going.
What about the camera?
Oh, I picked up the part this morning.
Oh, who's that?
One of Jerry's boys, I think. I asked him to drop around.
Yeah? What for?
We need a third, Dick. I thought I'd offer a 20% split on a one-shot.
Okay, then.
Come in.
Yeah? You're from Jerry's?
Not quite, lady. This is the district attorney.
What?
Don't move, bud. Or is the name Seagraves? All set up, Chief.
Oh, thank you, Harrington. Well, this makes it easy, doesn't it?
Easy? What are you talking about?
Murder. Or to be more accurate, two murders. All right, get your coats, please. You're both under arrest.
Arrest? Well, you're crazy. What for?
You heard him, pal. Come on, the camera's rolling. You can play the scene right up to the hilt.
Your district attorney will return in just a moment to explain the clues which led to the arrest in tonight's case. But first, let's bend an ear to one of those early morning sounds. One that says, rise and shine. Now, to a lot of people, that sound can mean a wonderful morning with a good day ahead. But to a lot of people, there's another sound that can mean the same thing. And that's the sparkling sound of Sal Hepatica in a glass of water. And remember, unlike slow-acting laxatives, a sparkling glass of Sal Hepatica, when you get up, brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. That means you don't have to feel dull and headachy all day, waiting until night to take the laxative you needed in the morning.
And if at the same time you're troubled with excess gastric acidity, let Sal Hepatica help sweeten your stomach.
So keep a bottle of Sal Hepatica handy. Then anytime you need a laxative,
morning, noon, or night,
see how much faster you feel better thanks to gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica. And now, here is your district attorney.
I'm happy to report, ladies and gentlemen, that both Richard Seagraves and Georgiana Herron will pay the full penalty demanded for the murder of A.B. Claypool and the murder of their associate, Dolly Eads.
Gee, that was one of the strangest, Chief.
Yes, Miss Miller, it was. But like all criminals, they made a mistake. And like all criminals, now they'll pay for their mistake.
Yep, their mistake being when the dame dropped a part of that camera on the floor of the bank.
Yes, Harrington. As you know, under the microscope, we were able to determine that the broken glass from the bank floor was part of a camera lens.
So you had Ray check on the camera supply stores in town, isn't that right, Chief?
Yes, exactly, Miss Miller. Ray assured me, you see, that not more than a dozen stores carried the kind of lens needed to replace the broken one. Fortunately, Georgiana went to one of these stores for a replacement.
And that was the beginning of the end, Chief. She leaves a trail, and we follow it.
Yes, and of course, we were able to prove the gun in their possession killed both Mr. Claypool and Dolly Eads.
I think I'll just pass up that screen test, Chief.
Yeah, what screen test, Miss Miller? What?
Oh, nothing, Harrington. A girl can dream, can't she? Oh, Chief, what about next week?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, again next week, we see the futility of a life of crime, but in a very different and unusual way in the case of Service in Silver. And I invite you to join us for it. And so until then, thank you and good night.
Say, mister, want some good shaving advice? Forget your whiskers. What counts is your face. How it feels while you're shaving. How it feels and looks afterwards. And to give yourself a better feeling, better looking face, use Ingram Shaving Cream. You see that rich Ingram lather on your brush. helps condition your face for the razor. Result, cool, comfortable, soothing shaves. Just remember, comfort means coolness. Coolness means Ingram. I-N-G-R-A-M. Ingram, the cooler shaving cream. Try Ingram tomorrow.
The names of all characters in tonight's dramatization are fictitious, and any resemblance to names of living persons or actual places is purely coincidental. Our stars were Jay Jostin in the title role, Len Doyle as Harrington, and Vicky Vola as Miss Miller. The music was under the direction of Peter Van Steeden. The program is produced and directed by Edward A. Byron and written by Robert Shaw. Mr. District Attorney was originated by Phillips H. Lord. Remember, Ipana Toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Bristol-Myers invites you to tune in again next week for Duffy's Tavern and Mr. District Attorney.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with an episode of Mr. District Attorney, starring Jay Jostin, Vicky Vola, and Len Doyle. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s, when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, Frank McGrath is featured on the Daredevils of Hollywood. But right now, a rich uncle comes to visit. Fanny Bryce stars as Baby Snooks as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. Well, today is a big day in the life of Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford. His rich old uncle is coming from Chicago to visit him, and Daddy has hopes of being remembered in his will. Preparations have been made, and as the scene opens, we find Snooks and Daddy waiting at the depot for his uncle's arrival. Now, listen.
Is this the station, Daddy?
Yes, this is the station.
Where's your uncle?
He hasn't arrived yet.
Why?
Because his train is late.
How do you know?
I just asked the Red Cap.
Who's he?
Those porters over there are called Red Caps.
Why?
Because they are. My uncle's train will be delayed for half an hour because they had a washout on the line.
Did they stop to let him do it?
Let him do what?
Hang his wash on the line.
Nobody hung any wash on a line. The line was washed out.
How?
They had a very heavy rainstorm, and part of the roadbed was swept away.
Who swept it?
The rain.
With a broom?
Did you ever see a rainstorm carrying a broom?
No.
Then why did you ask such a stupid question?
I don't know.
Well, don't ask any more.
Why?
Oh, stop it. And stop sprawling over that bench. Sit up straight. Now throw that gum out of your mouth and put your feet in.
Put my feet in my mouth?
No. Put them in so you don't trip people walking by. Take that gum out of your mouth and give it to me.
You want to chew it, Daddy?
No, I don't want to chew it.
I just want you to be very ladylike when you meet my uncle.
Is he my uncle, too?
No. And he's really my step-uncle. He's my father's half-brother and my mother's cousin. So that makes him my uncle and your great-uncle.
How did he get so mixed up?
He's not mixed up. Oh, and listen, Snooks. It's very important that you make a really good impression on him.
Why?
Because he's a nice old gentleman. And he'll think a lot more of Mother and me if he sees our children have been raised properly. When he passes on, I expect him to sort of remember us. Understand?
Understand.
What do I mean?
He's got a pot full of tin.
Exactly. No! Snooks, where did you get that expression?
I heard you tell Mommy.
Well, you better not snoop around so much. Kid's got ears like a submarine detector.
Huh?
Nothing. Just be nice when my uncle arrives, that's all.
Ain't the train here yet, Daddy?
No, I don't think so. When it comes, they'll announce it.
Ask the Redskin.
Redskin. Red Cap.
Well, ask him where your uncle is.
Oh, he doesn't know.
Huh?
Oh, and listen, Snooks.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do, don't tell him what I named the baby.
You mean little Roach Pierre?
Yes. You know, that name was Mother's choice, not mine.
I like it.
Well, my uncle is liable to think it's a little crazy. After all, Robespierre is rather an odd name.
What's your uncle's name, Daddy?
Camembert Higgins.
Camembert?
That's right.
And he'll think Robespierre is a crazy name.
Well, I hope I can soften the blow by breaking it gently. See?
See? What's your name, Daddy?
Oh, Snooks, you know my name as well as you know your own.
No, I don't.
You do, too. What does Mother call me?
Lunkhead.
She does not. And don't remind me of it. You know perfectly well my name is Lancelot. Well, what are you laughing at?
I don't know. I don't want to go home.
Oh, wait a minute. I think the train's coming in now. Yes, that's it. Come on, Snooks. The train's here. Let's hurry.
Where's your uncle, Daddy?
Car 204. Ah, yes, here it is. Now watch for him, Snooks.
I'll watch him.
Oh, there he is.
Mm-hmm.
Run up and greet him. Say hello to him, Snooks.
All right. Hello, mister. Are you my daddy's uncle?
Well, I ain't nobody's uncle. I was the Pullman porter.
Hey, little girl, are you looking for Camembert Higgins?
Uh-huh.
That's me.
If I stand me, he looks like a waffle.
Well, hello, Uncle. I'm your nephew, Lancelot. Remember me?
Changed a good deal in 30 years, ain't you?
I want to go home.
Shh. Oh, this is my daughter. Snooks, suppose you give Unky a great big kiss. How's that?
No good.
Yeah, guess she's shy. Snooksy, if you kiss me, I'll give you a penny.
It ain't enough.
Snooks.
I get more than that for taking Castor Oil.
Oh. Tell me, Lancelot, did you at least marry well?
Did I? Why, Uncle, I married the most wonderful woman in the world, and we adore each other.
Yeah.
Oh, Daddy.
Are you raising your children in the proper spirit?
Why, my children are the best-behaved kids in the world.
Oh, Daddy.
Come on, Uncle, I'll get your luggage and we go home. I fixed up the guest room, and it's just beautiful. You'll really love your stay with us.
Where's your wife, Mr. Uncle?
I don't like to discuss that subject, child.
Why?
Well, since you're so nosy, we don't live together. We found we couldn't agree, so we decided to separate.
Oh.
Does that satisfy you?
No. Why didn't you fight it out like Mommy and Daddy?
What's that?
Snooks. Oh, pay no attention to her, Uncle. She's a great little clown.
Yes. If you... I don't think I'll impose on your hospitality. I'll just...
Oh, but I insist, Uncle. You'll be very comfortable with us.
Sure. I want you to come to the house, Uncle Camembert.
You do?
Mm-hmm. I got a football for you.
Give you a football? Mm-hmm. What am I going to do with the football?
Well, Daddy says we'll be rich when you kick off. I'm
going back to Chicago.
Oh, wait, Uncle! Snooks, look what you've done.
From Hollywood, the motion picture capital of the world, we bring you the thrilling true life experiences of those men behind the scenes. those daring unsung heroes whose breathtaking adventures on the screen have thrilled millions, whose daily jobs bring them face to face with death, those men who comprise the strangest fraternity on Earth, the Suicide Squad, the movie stuntmen, the Daredevils of Hollywood.
Ladies and gentlemen, in bringing you this copyrighted radio feature, we are privileged to have as our guest one of the top-notch stuntmen of Hollywood, Frank McGrath. It is through his cooperation that we are able to reenact some of the highlights of his dangerous profession. The thrilling scene you are about to hear is his own actual experience. Frank McGrath is here in the studio right now, and later in the program we will bring him to the microphone. But first, let us give you the true story of how he began his dangerous career in the movies. The role of Frank McGrath is being enacted in this dramatization by the young juvenile star of stage, screen, and radio, Buddy Edwards.
It is late at night, and a biting wind whistles through lumbering boxcars as they follow a struggling locomotive through the gloom. Huddled in a corner of one of these cars are three shivering figures, two men and a boy.
Say, Buddy, you're pretty young to be riding these rattlers.
Yeah, I guess so, but it's better than walking.
What's your name, kid?
Frank. Frank McGrath. What's yours?
Oh, just call me Joe. My pal here is Spike.
It's good to have somebody to talk to on one of these trips. I guess it'd get kind of lonesome by yourself.
You got any dough, kid?
Nah, not a cent. And I could do with a little chow, too. You guys got any?
Say, listen, kid. We ain't had no dough in a month.
I even forgot what kind of pictures it's got on it.
Where are you heading, Frank?
Oh, I don't know. Somewhere. I guess I'll get a job.
You mean you get work?
Why, sure. Why not? A lot of guys work.
Well, here's one you'll never catch working. So what you been doing, kid?
Oh, I've been riding. You know, race jockey down in Caliente.
Yeah? What happened? How come you quit?
Oh, I was getting too heavy. Couldn't keep my weight down. You gotta be light for that, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Gee, I'd sure like to have a hamburger. I'm hungry.
Hey, here we go.
Hey, you guys, what are you doing there? Come on, come on, get out of there.
Come on, kid, you give us that sap. Let's get out of here.
Hurry up, finish, you guys. Get out of there.
Unload, kid. We're right behind you.
Okay. Come on.
Now, ain't that just too kind of a man, eh? He's got such a big heart.
Well, he could have picked out a worse place to kick us off. Here's a town.
Yeah.
Not very big, but it's a town anyway. And I'll bet there's a hamburger in it somewhere.
We're staying on the track, kid. The other section of this train comes through in a few minutes, and we're taking it.
Yeah. We've already got our reservations.
Well, I guess I'll be leaving you then. I gotta scare up a hamburger. So long.
Hello there, boy. What'll it be?
How much are your hamburgers?
10 cents, 2 for 50. Want a couple?
No, guess not. Just give me one, with everything.
You bet.
Say, what's the name of this town?
This is the Fair City of Truckee. Truckee, California. We got 5 stores, a post office, and a moving picture outfit.
They got picture shows almost everywhere nowadays.
Listen, son, I'm not talking about a picture show. I mean they're making a picture right here in Truckee. We're giving Hollywood a run for their money, I'm telling you. What'd you do, just blow in?
Yeah, brakeman kicked me off the train.
Pretty cold riding the rods tonight, ain't it?
Oh, we were in a boxcar.
We?
Yeah, there were a couple of guys in there with me. We all got kicked off. But you know, I was kind of glad to get away from those birds.
What for?
Oh, one of them wanted some money. I had a dime, but I wouldn't give it to him. He didn't know it, though.
You outsmarted him, eh?
Well, I guess so.
There you are, sonny. One whiff.
Oh, boy, that looks good.
Oh, hello, Mr. Stallings. Oh. Have a seat, sir. What are you going to have tonight?
Oh, I don't know, Pete. Something light. Toast and milk, I guess.
Yes, sir. Right away. How's the picture coming, Mr. Stallings?
Oh, pretty good, Pete. I'd like to pick up another man for tomorrow, though. Say, what about you, young fella? You want a job?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. What doing?
Working in pictures. I'm production manager of a company. We're down here on location.
Oh, gee, that's wonderful.
Well, now that you've got a job, how about another hamburger, sonny?
Well,
Oh, that's all right. This one's on me.
What's the matter, young fella? You troubled with the shorts?
Yes, sir. You see, I just got into town.
Yes, I understand. I've been there myself. Give him a T-bone steak, Pete, on me.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mr. Stallings, but really, I'm not very...
What are you drinking, sonny?
Milk, I guess. Oh, but, gee,
I'll tell you what, young fellow. When we finish eating, I'll get you a room up at the hotel. Good night's sleep, and you'll feel like working in the morning.
Oh, gee, that's great. But I,
Oh, now, don't worry about anything. I'll take it out of your salary. That's all right, isn't it?
Yes, sir. It's practically perfect.
And so, for the moment, we'll leave our young stuntman in the making. What thrills await him on the morrow, we'll learn in just a minute. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Friends, you know what happens when you take a fish out of water? Sure, it dies. Well, by Cornelius, the same thing happens when your car's battery runs out of water. It lies right down and quits. No water, no life. So what did the Autolite people do? They made the Autolite stay full battery with an extra large liquid reserve. Gave it more room for more water. Result, the Autolite stay full battery needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use. So friends, be right with Autolite.
It is now early morning. The entire picture company is on the location set. Young Frank McGrath, thrilled that he is to have a part in this romantic business of making a motion picture, and at the same time rather embarrassed because of the woman's costume in which he has been made up, looks with wide-eyed wonderment at the strange things about him. Cameras are being set up. Platforms are moved about. Confused but delighted, young McGrath steps out of the way of one group only to block the path of another. His friend of the night before is just coming on the set. Frank greets him with genuine pleasure.
Oh, hello, Mr. Stallings.
Hello.
Gee, I feel silly in this woman's dress. I don't know what to do with myself.
Well, how are you, young fellow? You're not a bad-looking girl. Come on over here and I'll show you what to do. Or rather, I'll show you the man who can tell you.
Boy, these fellas sure do work fast, don't they?
Everybody works fast in the picture business, young fellow. It's a big job. You have to work fast. Oh, Mr. McGowan, you busy? Can I see you a minute?
Oh, hello, Charlie. Oh, I'm not very busy right now.
This is Mr. McGowan, young fellow, the director of this picture. He'll tell you what to do.
Hello, Mr. McGowan. I'm Frank McGrath.
Hi, son.
This is the boy I was telling you about, J.P. You can use him on that tree gag.
Yeah. How are you, son? Come over here and sit down. I'll explain everything to you.
Yes, sir.
Now, Frank, you see that big tree out there?
That big high one?
That's the one. It's about 100 feet high.
Yeah, it's all of that, all right.
Now, here's the idea. You're dressed as this woman. You're supposed to be in the top of that tree.
Uh-huh.
The men chop the tree down and it falls into the lake. You see, it's chopped almost in two now.
Yes, sir, I see. What happens to me?
Well, you ride the tree down as it falls. And just before it hits the water, you jump clear. Now, the water's plenty deep, Frank. But we don't think there's much danger. Of course, you might get scratched up a little.
Oh, I don't mind that, but believe me, that's a high tree.
Well, would you like to try it?
Sure. I'll try anything once.
Well, that's the way to talk, boy. But look, I want you to be sure about this scene. You're positive you want to do it. You don't have to, you know.
Well, I'm a pretty good swimmer and diver, Mr. McGowan. I don't see any reason why I couldn't do it. Anyway, I'd like to try.
All set, Mr. McGowan.
Well, now just a minute. Well, boy, if you've got nerve enough to try it, I've got nerve enough to let you. Get up on the top of that tree and we'll make the picture.
Now ride down the tree down as far as you can, Frank, and be sure that you jump clear.
All right, everybody, this is the take. Quiet, please.
Quiet, please. Quiet, everybody, this is it.
You fellas with the axes, get set there. All right, let's go.
The kid got up there and he's all set, waiting to go.
Yeah, plenty game.
There she starts. Man, what a sight. Falling, falling faster. The kid's getting ready to jump. Watch it, kid, jump, jump. Hey, look out, jump.
Hey, he fell in the water and he's not coming up. Get in that lake, man. Get him out before he drowns.
Hurry, come on, get over here. The lifeguard got him. They're bringing him out.
Are you all right, son? Are you hurt?
I'm all right. Did you get the picture?
I'll say we got the picture. And I got a protege. Boy, I'm taking you to Hollywood. You've got a job as long as I have.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is our pleasure to present in person Frank McGrath, whose true experiences of entering the movies and becoming a picture stuntman have just been dramatized. Frank McGrath, interviewed by Hal Stiles.
Well, Frank, that was a splendid story, and you've actually been in pictures ever since.
That's right, to this very day.
Well, tell me, what is your job now?
I do all of Warner Baxter's stunts. In fact, I have a contract with him for 7 years. We're signed with 20th Century Fox.
Well, it was certainly a lucky night for you when you walked into that little cafe.
It certainly was. Things have been breaking for me ever since. Couldn't have a kick coming.
Well, now that's fine. And I understand you've been offered several good parts in pictures. What about that?
Oh, I've been offered a few, but I'd rather stay more or less in the background and just work with Mr. Baxter.
Well, Frank, we've enjoyed your story more than we can possibly say, and I believe it's an inspiration to many young fellows who would like to come to Hollywood and perhaps duplicate your success.
My advice to them is to stay at home. The odds are much against them here.
Well, I can understand that, too. At any rate, on behalf of our listeners, I want to thank you sincerely for coming here. And I know that everyone joins me in hoping that we may have you on this program again very soon. Goodbye, old man, and may your good luck continue.
La-do-da-do-la-do-da-do-la-do-da-do-la.
Maybe I can't live to love you as long as I want to, long as I promise you, baby, I'm gonna want to as long as I live. Maybe I can't give you diamonds and things like I want to, but I can promise you, baby, I'm gonna want to as long as I live. I never cared, but now I'm scared. I won't live long enough. That's why I wear my rubbers when it rains and eat an apple every day, then see the doctor anyway. What if I can't live to love you as long as I want to? But I can promise you, baby, I'm gonna want to as long as I live. That I won't live long enough. That's why I wear my rubbers when it rains and eat an apple every day, then see the doctor anyway. What if I can't live to love you as long as I want to? But I'll promise you, baby, I'm gonna want to as long as I live.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with Red McKenzie and the Spirits of Rhythm, and As Long as I Live from 1934. We also heard a profile of Frank McGrath on the Daredevils of Hollywood, and Fanny Bryce starred as Baby Snooks, originally broadcast on radio on November 9, 1939. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.